This morning I want to preach on getting rid, overcoming shame in your life. It is possible to be delivered, to be forgiven of sin, and still deal with shame in your life. And this morning I'm going to preach the Word of God, and I hope you're ready to shout, praise God, because this is going to make you shout this morning. It made me shout this morning before the sun even come up. Hallelujah. Shame. I want to give you a definition of what shame is. Y'all ready? It means a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong and foolish behavior. Shame is something that the enemy loves to use against God's people, because he knows that if he can keep you in shame over your past, over what you've done in your past, that he can keep you defeated in your life. But I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus didn't just die for your sin. He died for your regret, your pain, your guilt, your shame. Listen, God doesn't just forgive. God forgets. God forgets. So how do you recognize shame that's in your life? You have fear of exposure, fear of intimacy, intimate relationships with friends. You're afraid of someone finding out who you really are. A lot of times we never feel like we do well enough. We're driven by performance and perfectionism. That's another sign of shame. Being devastated by criticism. We can't take criticism. It disables us. We can be overly critical of ourselves. We're always condemning ourselves. We have kind of a self-hate. We have a hatred toward ourselves and a real low self-esteem. We have compliance of pleasing people, and we become enraged at people. Signs of shame. We become primarily motivated by what other people think. Now, you should care about what other people think, but you shouldn't be controlled by what other people think. Did y'all catch that? Should care, but you shouldn't be controlled. There are people that don't want anyone to know that they have problems. And I'm here to tell you that every one of us in here in this building today have problems. We are all going through something. And I'm here not preaching a perfectionist message. I am preaching a message of grace to let you know I'm a beggar telling another beggar where I found bread. Listen, what you're going through, we all have the struggles, the battles, the trials, the troubles. We all go through. Listen, when a storm comes through Benton, and a lot of us live in Benton and Cleveland, but when they come through Cleveland, Benton, listen, we all go through that same storm, don't we? But are you built upon the rock of ages? And are you built upon Christ Jesus? Because we all go through the same thing. Another sign of recognizing shame is being motivated by fear. We feel bad about ourselves, and since we feel bad about our life, we will compare ourselves to other people. We live in a shame. We will underperform to avoid risk. And listen, shame is a human condition. Now, I want you to remember this. Shame and condemnation never come from God. Never comes from God. Satan cannot function unless shame is present. But when you realize that Jesus died for your sin and your shame, he has no authority in your life. Because I am not defined by my mistakes, and I am not defined by my failures, and I am not defined by my past. I am defined by Jesus Christ and what God says about me. And in my word, God says there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And I am in Christ Jesus today, and I am in Christ Jesus next week, and I am in Christ Jesus for the rest of my days. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in Christ Jesus in the house of the Lord forever and ever. And I am feasting at the table of the Lord in the presence of my enemies, and I am triumphant through the blood of Jesus Christ. Shame, guilt, regret has no control over me. I have the victory through the cross of Calvary. No matter what the opinion is, no matter what the world says, no matter what the devil says, I have no shame. I have no regret. I have no guilt. I've done some bad things in my life, but thank God he delivered me and set me free from sin and shame. Hallelujah. He set me free. And we don't have to live in shame. In the Old Testament, they did things a little bit different. Every single year, Israel was commanded to take two goats for the atonement of sin. They would take two goats and they would cast lots, and the one on which the Lord's lot falls would go into the tabernacle to be sacrificed for the sins of Israel. On the other goat, Aaron the high priest would lay his hands on the head of this goat and pronounce over this goat all the sins and transgressions of Israel. This goat will carry those sins, and a suitable man will take that goat in the sight of all Israel and take the goat out into a place where no one is, and that goat will bear those sins of Israel away from all the people. Now, why did it take two goats to take care of sin? Well, it didn't. It only took one goat to take care of sin between God and man. See, the other goat was not about sin, but it was about shame. And God didn't want shame in the camp. And that's why there's a scapegoat. And that Jesus is not just the Lamb of God, but he is the scapegoat. And the goat, listen, the goat that was sacrificed in the tabernacle was for the sins of Israel. But Aaron would pronounce those sins upon the other goat, and we call that goat the scapegoat. And he would take it in a place where no one lived, no one was, and he would take it into an uninhabited place. And all the shame was on that goat, and all the sins was transferred on the goat that was sacrificed in the tabernacle. Now I'm here to tell you, the devil and some people will try to go find that scapegoat, and they'll try to bring that goat back into the camp, trying to bring shame on your life, reminding you about your past. But I'm here to tell you, when you come to church here, you're not going to find the scapegoat. You're not going to find any judgment. There's no judgment here. There is mercy. There is grace here. Thank God. Jesus is not just the Lamb of God, but he is the scapegoat. That. Hallelujah. See, God, he wanted them to know God didn't just forgive, but he forgot about the sin. And he had a visual symbol of shame being taken out of the camp. And when that goat walked out of the camp, they knew their sin was gone. Praise God, the Lord forgives and forgets. Now, some of you walked in here this morning, you thought the scapegoat was still with you. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus became your scapegoat. And he is the Lamb of God. He took your sin and he took your shame. So you need to stop being all so down and out. Oh, the Lord's going to, I could have had God's best. I'm 80 years old. I'm 70 years old. Oh, I could have had God's best. I wish that marriage would have worked out. Listen, you got to get rid of regret and understand that God took your shame, that you don't have to live in defeat and say, I am not defined by my past. I am defined by the cross of Jesus Christ, and that is something to shout about. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Praise the Lord. And Jesus bore our sin and our shame. And they wonder why we shout. And they wonder why we praise God. Because I understand that when Jesus did the work, one time was enough. And since one time was enough, I don't have to earn my approval. I don't have to earn my acceptance. I am accepted in the Beloved. Hallelujah. I am wound up this morning. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. See, when Jesus died on the cross, all of our sins were pronounced on Jesus. He healed us of our sin issue and our shame issue at the same time. Isaiah chapter 53. I'm going to read you some scripture here. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 through 6. It says, he is despised, talking about Jesus, 700 years before the cross, by the way. Verse 3 in chapter 53, he says, he is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Sounds like he went through a lot of pain. And we hid, as it were, our faces for him. I want y'all to note that right there, okay? I want you to note that. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Praise the Lord. Jesus took all iniquity and all sin that is in the world, and he put it upon himself so that we wouldn't live with sin, shame, regret, or guilt. Now, Adam sinned. Adam and Eve sinned. And they brought shame into the world. And Jesus was the second Adam. Adam brought shame into the world, but Jesus died on the cross, naked, beaten, bruised, wounded. No one could recognize him. And he took shame out of the world. And this is how we can overcome shame. We need to be honest with God. We don't need to pretend to be something that we're not. If you're going through something, don't act like you ain't going through something. Don't play games with God. Sometimes we'll pray to God like he don't know what's going on in our lives. He knows what sin you're committing. He knows what you're doing. God is the all-knowing God. And you know what? God just wants you to be honest. And if you'll just be honest with him and say, God, I deal with this, Lord, but I know you still love me and you'll help me through this. I'm just being honest with you. Some of us, we're too religious and we'll pray the real eloquent prayers and sound really smart. But we need to be honest before God and say, God, I am a broken person and I go through some pain and I need some help this morning. See, we can be who we really are. We don't have to hide. See, Jesus had no problems with sinners, but with dishonest religious people. You never see Jesus have a problem with a sinner who was honest. But he had a problem with a religious person who was honest. Hallelujah. See, we can live in the light. Can I read another scripture this morning? 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. He says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light. Everybody say, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And in verse 6 it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So don't be going around saying that you're perfect, that you've never sinned, that you never messed up, that you never failed, because if you do, you're calling God a liar. Next verse, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if I walk in the light, that doesn't mean God ain't saying you need to be perfect. But God is saying, if you'll just be honest with me, if you'll be honest with me and just be truthful that you got some problems and that you can't, listen, the first step is understanding that you can't do it alone, that you can't make it by yourself, that you can't, You can't be triumphant with your flesh. But once you're honest before God and say, God, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to act like I got it all together. I am a messy person, but I serve a perfect God who is ready to forgive. Hallelujah. If you're looking for a perfect church, you're not in one. I'm telling you, you're in a messy church. You're in a church where people got problems, trials, troubles, family problems. Can I keep on going? Do y'all see what I'm getting? But here's the kicker. Here's the catch. If you understand that, if you'll just be honest before God and look around you, nobody else is different from you. We've all sinned and we fell short of the glory of God. We're not so religious where we go. But you know what? We understand that we're saved by grace, and we stick out a hand. And we say, brother, I know you're going through it. I know you're struggling. But praise God, Jesus became our scapegoat. Hallelujah. Somebody say, preach. See, we're walking in the light. As he is in the light. It doesn't mean I've got it all together. It doesn't mean I've arrived. It doesn't mean I know it all. It doesn't mean that I'm perfectionist. But it means that I'm just being honest before God. And I'm saying, God, I struggle. But you're going to help me through this. And you're going to save someone through my struggle. Through my pain. And you're going to turn it into a testimony. Hallelujah. We don't have to play games with God and pretend to be something we're not. See, God can see through fig leaves. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned, they noticed they were naked and shame came upon them, right? So they tried to hide with fig leaves. And Adam and Eve thought they could fool God. But see, listen, God exists in the light and there is no darkness in him. If we are honest, listen, I can never measure up to God's righteousness, and God can deal with that. Y'all with me? Can I read another scripture this morning? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Spirit of God is here today. Are y'all getting blessed? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's start at verse 8. This is about Paul's thorn in the flesh. He said, and nobody knows what the thorn in the flesh is, but you may meet some theologians that will tell you that they know what it is, but nobody really knows what the thorn in the flesh is. All right, let's read this. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times. How many has ever pled with the Lord three times? Probably more than that. Three times that it might depart from me. Verse 9. And he said to me, now look here. He didn't say I'm going to take it from you. He didn't say, I'm just going to heal you. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Listen, in my weakness, he is made strong. You may have a thorn in the flesh. And it may be there and it may be something you struggle with. But God's grace is sufficient for you. And you know what Paul said? He said, therefore, most gladly, I will boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Next verse. Therefore, look here, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm not here to pretend like I'm the strongest Superman, super spiritual man, got it all together. You're looking at a weak man who depends on the ultimate strength of Jesus Christ. And this church will grow when we understand that when we are weak, he is strong. See, if he had a thorn in the flesh, that means Paul didn't have it all together. Y'all with me? He said, Lord, take it away from him. But God says, I'm going to give you grace to go through it. In our prayer all the time, Lord, give us a quick fix. Lord, give us a shortcut. How about relying on God's grace to take you through the hard time, through the struggle. Many of you, if not all of you, are going through a difficult time right now. But if you'll just remind yourself that God's grace is sufficient for you, it is more than enough. He will lead you. He will see you through. We don't have to pretend. We can be honest before God. Listen, the devil wants to put shame on us. I just want to tell you, God enjoys you with all your imperfections. Oh, preacher, I can't believe you just said that. I can't. Now you're telling people it's okay to sin. No, God loves you in your imperfections, your failure, mess ups. Some of it's hard for us to get that because we're so religious. We're so religious. But listen, God loves you in your mess. Listen, God, listen, you don't have to play games with God. Don't pretend. God loves you. Listen, shame says, you know what shame says? I got to get my act together before I can come to God. That's shame. That's the devil. That's condemnation. But grace and the gospel says, I can't get my act together unless I come to God. And here we are, we patient with people. And when someone gets saved and they give their life to God, we think, okay, now you got to live perfect, holy. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And if you don't do what I want you to do, then you're wrong. Guys, that is not the gospel. That is condemnation from the devil. The Bible says that we are to be patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. You've got to be patient with people. Listen, I know people in this church right now. Listen, I know some of you. Sin. I know all of you sin. I know your life. You know me. So let's stop pretending and stop acting like hypocrites and live for God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, God delivered me from a perfectionist spirit. He taught me grace. Because I understood even if I did everything right, I still wouldn't be good enough. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. Glory to God. See, Paul got a thorn in the flesh. God didn't take it away. But God said, I'll give you grace to make it through it. Hallelujah. Listen, shame. Listen, we cannot be set free until we are not just forgiven, but the shame is gone too. And we got to believe that God's okay with us. See, Adam and Eve hid from God. Y'all remember that story? They sin, they cover themselves up with fig leaves and try to hide from God. You can't fool God, right? Some of us act like, God don't see this, that God knows. He knows the inner deep recesses of our hearts. But look, they were afraid. They hid. You don't have to hide. Walk in the light. Go to God. Many of us are hiding from God because we can't get rid of the shame of our past, and we're hiding and we're covering ourselves up with fig leaves. Fig leaves, trying to, maybe God don't see this. I don't want people to know who I really am, what I've really been through. Guys, you need to be an open book. You need to be an open book. Quit pretending. Like, listen, be an open book and say, somebody asked me the other day, they said, hey, how's everything going? Is it going good? I said, well, I'm okay and I'm doing good, but things, I'm struggling a little bit. What? They looked at me, what, you struggling? You going through some things? Yeah. Well, guys, I'm not going to lie to you. What do you want me to do, lie to you all the time? Say, everything's great, it's perfect. Well, you don't want me to lie, do you? So here we are, we live in a culture, in a society, even in a church culture, where everybody's got to have it together. Listen, we want people to come to church here, not because they just have it all together, but we want them to come to church here because there is a perfect God who loves them, who will help them grow in the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm not a Pharisee. Thank God I'm not a religious person. Y'all agree with me? Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. Here's another thing we need to do. We need to be honest before God. Don't pretend. Just love God. Let God work in your life. Okay, take responsibility for your behavior and don't blame other people. I'm telling you, we are the world's worst when it comes to blaming other people. Well, the reason why I'm going through this is because of mama. Well, the reason why I'm going through this is because of dad. This is the reason why I'm going through this is because of my brother, because of my sister, because of my cousin, because of my family. Quit blaming everybody. Take responsibility for your behavior and walk in the light. Walk in the light. Take responsibility for what you've done and look and be honest before God and say, God, you see, listen, I got myself in some of these situations, but your grace is enough for me, and you're going to use my struggle, my heartache as a testimony to help other people. Amen. See, we need to get honest before God. We're trying to cover ourselves up with fig leaves. Just be open before God. Open before Him. They were singing a song. They didn't sing it during church today, but one of the lyrics in the song was, God's not mad at you. We need to sing that 5 times in a row for 5 Sundays in a row to get in people's hearts, to get in their spirits that God wants a relationship with them and that He does not relate to you through shame and condemnation, but He relates to you through grace. Amen? See, Adam said, Eve made me do it. He did. You read it. When they sinned, Adam said, well, the woman you gave me, that one statement just caused a war between man and woman for the rest of them. Just joking. The woman you gave me made me do this. And you know what Eve said? Eve said, the devil made me do it. Right? Now listen, they were both telling the truth, but they were still responsible for their actions. That's the difference. You are responsible for your behavior, for your actions, the choices you make. But you got to run to God. Be honest with God. Say, God, this is my behavior. I want to change. I may not change perfectly in a week. I may not change perfectly in 2 weeks. But praise God, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. He's still working on me, right? I haven't arrived, but praise God, Jesus has. And He said it is finished. Hallelujah. Still responsible for their actions. Listen, if you don't take responsibility for your behavior and trust Jesus to forgive you and remove the shame, you will find a scapegoat. See, many people go through life and make other people their scapegoat. My family. Here's another one, and I'm not going to get too deep in this, okay? I'm in this situation because of the government. It's everybody else's fault. It's their fault. It's never my fault. Think again. Think again. You're responsible for your choices, right? Listen, we're very open about expressing your problems, but you'll lay hands on your spouse, family, and everybody else and confess your sins over them. Guys, they're not your scapegoat. Jesus is your scapegoat. Don't put the blame on them. Y'all with me? Listen. Parents, siblings, friends, government, etc., etc. I could keep going. Listen, it's not my problem. Sin is my problem. And if I take responsibility for my behavior and be honest before God, then God will help me if I'll take responsibility and be honest before God and stop playing the blame game. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't your fault. My fault. I'm here. I put myself in this situation. But listen, God has grace and mercy for you, and He will help you out of that. And that situation, He will use it as a testimony. He will use it as a way to impact other people for the glory of God. Amen? Listen, He won't forgive us our sins until we take responsibility and get honest about our behavior. Everybody say honest. Look at your neighbor and say, be honest before God. God, quit playing. Quit pretending. Right? Praise the Lord. You know how we were teaching in Sunday school this morning, and we were talking about witnessing and how to witness to other people. And a lot of times when we're witnessing, we'll go and we act like we're the ones that have it all together. Remember, I'm a beggar telling another beggar where I found bread, right? Well, you got to find a commonality with them. And once you establish a commonality with them, you have communication. And when you have communication, then you have connection. And when you establish a common ground with them and say, hey, I struggle with the same things. Hey, man, I go through the same things now. And you talk to them like you respect them and not like you're better than them. Can I get an amen? Amen. And you talk to them like they're a human being created in the likeness and image of God. And they are, right? And treat them like God would want you to treat them. Man, God will move through that. Amen? Amen. Everybody say, preach.
Preach.
I'm going to keep on preaching. Believe you're forgiven. And that sin and shame is removed by Jesus. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Confess means to say what God is saying about our behavior. Psalms 103. Can I read this scripture to you this morning? I want you to take this scripture, just take it at face value. See, some of us, we have to unlearn what we learned in our younger years. We have to relearn everything because we've been preached shame, condemnation, shame, condemnation. Shame, shame for shame. That's all we heard. But how about we start preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ, that He will save you and help you grow. Psalms 103, let me turn there. Will y'all let me turn there? Psalms chapter 103, glory to God. Verse 8, the Lord, I want y'all to take this at face value. Everybody say face value. There ain't nothing to read into. There ain't nothing to figure out. It says what it says, all right? The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger. And He's abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever, all right? He has not dealt with us according to our sins. And He hasn't punished us according to our iniquities. Go to the next one. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Can you measure from east to west? No. That's how much God has forgiven you. And if you can't shout over that and can't praise God over that, I don't know what's wrong with you. But if you can get in your head that you're forgiven and He's took your shame, you will live in victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Believe you're forgiven. Refuse a spirit of shame and condemnation when Satan attacks you, and fight him with the blood and the word. Listen, every time you do something wrong, yeah, I said that. Every time you do something wrong, He'll attack you and keep you from talking to God. That's the time you need to talk to God. See, He'll shame you and get you into condemnation. When you do something wrong, you won't pray. You won't even pray to God. Go to God. Here you are. You're punishing yourself. But if you'll talk to God and be honest about your behavior and quit pretending, He will deliver you and set you free. He will. He'll help you. We got to fight Him with the blood and the word. Revelation 12:10. How many appreciates Jaden with the Bible verses? Amen. Revelation 12:10 says that we are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. Look here. This is what it says. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength of the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Listen, brothers, my brothers and sisters in Christ, stop joining the accusing party. Well, can I get an amen? Quit joining the accusing party and stand in with the one who took your place, Jesus Christ the righteous. You need to start standing with Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm not going to accuse my brothers and sisters all the time. I'm not going to make a habit of fault finding. I'm not going to be looking for the bad in people all the time, but I'm going to walk in love, and I'm going to walk in grace, and I'm going to walk in mercy and say, you know what? I refuse to join the devil in his accusations. I'm going to lift my brother up in love and not put him to shame. Amen. Listen, Shame cannot drive out shame. And if you're trying to win people to the Lord with shame, it ain't going to happen. But if you understand the true love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, that's why people were crying this morning in the altar. They got a revelation that Jesus is the righteous one who forgave and healed us and brought us out of the miry pit and set our feet on a rock to stay. Jesus fought against shame. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, he despised the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. There is no shame for us. Listen, Jesus fought against shame. You need to take that thought captive. When you do something wrong, you need to just go to God and say, God, you're a forgiving God, and I'm still going to, can I just preach a little bit? I'm still going to go to church. I'm still going to be an open book. I'm not here to please anybody else. I'm not here to please you. I'm not here to please anyone. I am here to please God. I cannot please God with a perfectionist mentality, but I can please God if I'm honest before Him and say, God, I've got problems and I'm going through some stuff, but You are the one who gives me the victory. I'm not here to pretend. I'm not here to be a hypocrite. I'm just going to be honest. Hallelujah. Maybe that's why some people don't come to church, because nobody's honest. Everybody thinks everybody's got it all together. I wonder what they're thinking about me. Let me give you a news flash. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We need Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Say, Pastor, you're telling people to continue in sin. Not if they understand true love and grace. When you understand true love and grace, they don't want to live a bad lifestyle. They're going to say, God is too good to me and too forgiving and too loving for me to go out here and sin blatantly. I love Him too much, and He loves me too much for me to keep on doing what I'm doing. Amen. No condemnation. The blood of Jesus Christ canceled out our sins. Listen, when you do something wrong, you need to raise up your voice and thank God for the blood. Amen. Thank God for the blood and say, praise God, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep on going. Everybody say accountability. See, that's another thing we got to have. You can have accountability. When you can overcome shame, you have accountability with other people, with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Say, brother, hey, I did this. I'm going through this. I need some help. I need to go through some repentance. I need help. Too many times, listen, can I preach a little bit longer? Too many times, and I'm just going to preach on, can I preach on church people a little bit? Sometimes church people are the world's worst about wounding each other. They will wound each other, try to outdo each other, try to outserve. Listen, we've all sinned. Listen, we are not in a competition. We are here to do the will of the Lord. And thank God we got some people here that's not ready to wound each other, talk about each other behind their back, but will stand up and say, praise God, we've got the victory in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, you got excited. I can get excited too. Amen. Listen, God is a forgiving God. I didn't mean to scare you. God is a forgiving God. God is a merciful God. And if we will look to Him, and listen, stop blaming other people. Listen, God, if you don't give grace to other people, you don't understand the grace that God gave you. You don't. You don't. If you show grace and mercy, see, some of us, we're still hard-hearted. We're still hard-hearted. Won't give each other a chance. Listen, there's some people in the church today, can I preach? There's some people in the church today, they won't give you a chance. They won't give you an opportunity. They close up the door, the gate of the kingdom of heaven, and they say, you got to be perfect before you come in this building. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be perfect before you enter the kingdom of God. And I don't apologize for saying that either. I don't apologize for preaching a gospel that is full of forgiveness and mercy and grace. I don't apologize. Don't you ever be ashamed of preaching a gospel that gives people a chance. Listen, I don't believe in preaching shame and condemnation. Listen, I don't believe every time you come in Sunday, you did something wrong. You did something. I'm not going to hit him. You did something wrong. You did something wrong. You did something wrong. Tell me something that'll help me. I know I did something wrong. My Lord. Somebody say, preach. I know I did. Listen, we know we mess up. We know we do these things. But if you show mercy, it is the mercy that changes your heart. Everybody say, mercy. Hallelujah. I don't want to pretend. I want to be real before God. We need to be an open book and say, God, I'm an open book for before you. I don't want to pretend. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm sitting in the pew, but praise God, I don't have to be perfect to sit in the pew. Hallelujah. Listen, God's raising up a church that will put down the gavel of judgment. God's raising up a church that will stop wounding each other. Can I preach just a little bit longer? I just keep on preaching, don't I? Listen, church people, I'm going to preach this in general. Stop talking about your brother behind their back. Stop talking about your sister behind their back. Listen, if you want to talk to them and if you got a problem, go to them and talk to them. That's how you fix things. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You go to them and you talk to them and you discuss it out. But you don't go in there and say, I got a problem with you and I don't think we can have this relationship anymore. You got to talk about it, grow up. Yeah. Well, can I get an amen this morning? Amen. You got to talk about these things. You got to communicate. And when you understand the grace and mercy of God, you can sit down and you can show love and you can have disagreement without destruction. Amen, amen church. Amen. The blood of Jesus. Everybody say, no shame. No shame. Don't go looking for the scapegoat. Don't be looking. Listen, some people go, they'll go to a church, try to find every flaw in it. I don't like that singing. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. Why don't you just worship God for a change? Well, hallelujah. Listen, I'm an open book this morning. There's some things that happen in church service that I don't like here, but I worship God. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Guys, there's things. Listen, everything don't have to go your way in order to worship God. It don't have to. Listen, you got to release yourself from being right all the time and just go in humbly before God and say, Lord, if I'm not right, just change me. And let me conform to your image and to your likeness. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, God's been working on you this morning. This altar is open. Listen, if you don't even have to kneel. You can worship God the way you want to worship God. If you want to run and say, I don't have shame in my life anymore, praise God. I don't have to live with guilt. Praise the Lord. Raise your hands and say, praise God. Listen, this altar is open. It's open for anyone. You say, well, I've never been to the altar before. Today's probably a good day for you to come to the altar. What will other people think? That shame. That shame. What will other people, that shame as condemnation. You need to think about, what does God think? God loves me. See, let everybody think God has something in his hand. And because of your past, he's ready to just beat you down.
Come on. That's right.
Come on. I'm mad at you for what you've done. And you're going to pay. You're going to pay. This is a gavel, but it's actually a remote control. You're going to pay, mute. You're going to pay. Listen, a lot of us think God is mad, 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 mad. Get rid of that. That is a lie from hell. That is a lie from the devil. God loves you. He wants to help you. He wants to pick you up. If you're listening to me this morning, if you just listen to me, have you ever said that? If you just listen to me, if you just listen to me, you'll get set free. If you just listen to the word this morning. See, some of us, we don't know. We've never heard this message. I'm almost done. Promise. Some of us have never even heard this message preached before. None of it. It's foreign to us because we've been so indebted, encultured in religion. Religion. I've got to be perfect. I've got to do things. If you go to God first, let Him do the work. Be patient with people. Well, Pastor, you know that person in church. You know what kind of wrong they're doing. I know what kind of wrong they're doing. They know it too. Mind your own business. Can I preach a little bit this morning? Mind your own business. Get your nose out of their life. Pray for them. Talk to them. But don't be trying to control them with your religious junk. Will somebody say amen? Amen. You got to pray for people. You got to show them love. You got to show them mercy. They know they're doing wrong. Right? What are you going to do? Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out. You know where the door, don't let the door hit you. You know that saying. Get out of here. You sinner. I'm so sick and tired of that religious spirit that doesn't give people a chance to repent and pray and give them time to make it right with God. That is a spirit from hell. Spirit from hell. And praise God through the children's ministry, through the tent ministry, through all the ministries here, people are going to be saved. We're going to love people. We're going to show mercy on people. Through all the ministry, we're going to love people and let them know, hey, there's hope for you. There's hope for you. Right? As long as there's breath, there's hope for you. I don't care what you've been through. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. Guys, let's do this together. Look at your neighbor and say, let's serve God together. Hallelujah. Serve the Lord together. Listen, this altar is open. This altar is open for anyone who needs prayer. Do I need prayer? If you ask that question, that's you. Do I need prayer? That's you. This altar is open to you, and God will take your shame away. You don't have to live with shame anymore. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you. I know this last time I tell you to talk to your neighbor. You don't have to live with shame. You're set free. This altar is open. If you have a relation, if you don't have a relationship with God this morning, you need prayer, whatever it is that you need prayer for. We're going to worship the Lord here today. A lot of people have been at the altar already. This altar is open. It's open for you. For anyone.